You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the final What the Spook Lore, making sense of spooky tales. I'm your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the nighttime weaver, Tyler. I forgot which one I was going to say.
The mime weaver.
It's not spooky.
Mimes are spooky. Some people can are afraid of them.
I'm Gordy, a goblin of fire. Thank you, Tally the Chamberlain. Is it spooky? It is for the goblin.
Like from Harry Potter?
It is for the goblin that is of fire, yeah. I would say.
He was very afraid of fire, and then he became of it.
If he's not afraid of fire, he is now.
What's good for the goose is good for the goblin, as they say.
That's how the saying goes.
So I have a story recommendation from one of you that I'm going to tell to Tyler and Gordy. They have not heard the story before. They will get me off track, react accordingly to the twists and turns, and then we will rip this apart and slam it back together for modern audiences.
For your listening pleasure.
We're good at that. Do we have an executive producer this time?
We do. The executive producer this week is Emma, aka M, on the Discord.
Discord.
Who has been, words. We've designated Emma Arn Thompson type 531, which is Ferdinand the horse, the hero's horse.
You didn't look at anything. You're not referencing anything.
I read it like a minute ago.
While doing this. So you could be just making it up and I would never know.
You could have made up all the Arn Thompson types because I have not memorized that book.
I did get the name wrong. It's Faithful Ferdinand, the hero's horse.
Okay.
I have not thought to like double check your work on any of these. So you could have made up, if you wanted to do a crime, you could have made up every one of them.
I'm holding off on making up a crime.
Tyler's saving his crime juices for one big heist.
Yeah.
All right, so today we are going back into the realm of Grimm for some spooky tales. We are going to be reading The Three Army Surgeons, which was suggested by Lucy. And then if we've got time, How Some Children Played at Slaughtering, also suggested by Lucy. Thank you, Lucy.
Did the Grimms just write MASH?
Like the game where you decide who you're going to marry and what house you're living in?
No, the Vietnam show.
Oh, yeah.
About wartime surgeons.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's an adaptation.
MASH was?
Yeah, based on...
Of this Grimm story?
Probably this fairy tale.
Must be.
Or the Grimm story was an adaptation. This is a fanfic that the Grimms wrote of MASH.
That could also be true in sort of a time cyclone.
All right, so thank you, Im and Lucy.
Thank you.
Disclaimer before we get into this episode... Two of our stories at the end contain some graphic kid death. So if you have like issues surrounding that, just listen to the first story. And as soon as we're done talking about Vince Vaughn, move on.
Try to put in you'll know when the music transitions.
Yeah, just skip the ending if that's a sensitive topic.
It's a pretty grim, grim story.
All right. The Three Army Surgeons. You two ready?
Do it.
Here we go. Once there were three army surgeons who thought that they knew their art perfectly and were traveling the world to show it off, I guess. I guess they were discharged from the army.
Arrogant is a bad quality in surgeon. Right off the bat.
I hear it's pretty common, though.
Oh?
I've heard people in the medical profession say that surgeons often have a bit of an ego.
I mean, they do hold people's hearts in their hands sometimes.
Yeah, so that's probably an ego rush.
Be hard to keep that in perspective.
You could just like pop it there in your hands. You could rewire their brain.
Ugh, I think Gordy's spookier than the story.
You could just lick it once and then put it back in.
You could lick their brain
that's mine
one
now.
Time.
Yeah, then it's yours.
Okay. To prove this point, there was a surgeon in England, I think, mm-hmm. who like lasered his initials onto a patient's liver. I believe like he basically signed the organ that he put in.
Did he do it in cursive?
I don't know how he did it.
Banks won't accept it otherwise.
There were not pictures attached to the article. But he
sadly,
he did go ahead and tag the organ that he put in there.
Okay, so they decided to stay at an inn one night. And the host of the inn asks, like, hey, what's your deal? What are you three wandering about for?
Surgeries.
And they say that they're traveling around and practicing their art. The art of surging. And the host says, oh yeah? Well, show me for once in a way that you... what you can do. Which was a weird way of phrasing that.
Show me what you got.
Basically.
Show me your moves.
The for once was kind of weird. Like,
for once?
Everyone comes into this freaking inn and they say they can do these cool shits and nobody ever shows me. Nobody ever does it. It's just, I just wash mugs day in and day out. And it's really boring. Change sheets. See people drunk. That's all I do.
I've met 18 fire eaters. Not a one has ever done a stunt in my establishment.
They all claim sore throat.
Probably a common affliction.
Okay, so the first surgeon says, all right, we'll show you our surgery arts. Here's what I'll do. I'll cut off one of my hands, and tomorrow morning I'll reattach it.
Why is there a period in between?
Why wait?
Why is there a time span?
They're tired, I guess.
From the cutting?
The second one.
Do they expect to be tired?
I'm glad he's at least doing this to himself. So I thought this was going to be like, okay, I'll prove it. Like, you over there, come here, let me do some surgeries on you.
I'm gonna make you a Frankenstein.
Dear host, Have you heard of an appendectomy? And would you like to experience one right now? I'll cut off my hand.
Would you like to have a full rat for a foot?
Is this how you surgery down?
Rat
crime
feet?
Surgery?
Two big rats' feet, and they can walk for you?
They squeak every time you walk, so it's like having those cute squeaky shoes that kids get all the time, but horrifying.
And instead of tiptoeing, you just stand on one foot and it scurries.
You do like an ice skater pose?
You're very wobbly, because it's bad at balance.
You know, I think I would like it if my feet had legs and feet. That could do, like...
If your feet could scurry for you?
Yeah, just... Even if it was just, like, a bunch of, like, little... I don't know, caterpillar legs or something.
It's like those, the shoes with the rollerblades in them, but, like,
right.
Infinitely worse. All right, so the second surgeon, not to be, like, one-upped by this first one's bold claim, says, I'll cut out my heart and reattach that tomorrow morning.
I don't believe that one. The hand, maybe.
The hand is doable. The heart... not without something extra in there.
Rat foot, I would love to see it. Heart, don't... Not on that train.
I don't know that I need to see that either.
No.
Or the hand one, actually. I'm with you on the rat foot. I want to see some real weird science. Anybody can cut a hand off and put it back on.
Yeah, that's not art. And they did claim that their surgery was art.
Right.
Rat foot, totally art.
That's art. That makes a statement.
Can you take your heart out and put a whole dog in there?
Chihuahua heart.
I just want to get experimental with nearby animals.
You want to put a dog in the heart?
Where the heart used the cavity.
Just so you visit a petting zoo and leave with a whole new look.
So you want like a small animal to function as your heart.
Not a small animal.
A dog.
I want like a spring-loaded golden retriever.
A golden retriever
will just,
could
like,
power a human body for sure.
Jack in the box out of your chest.
Happy about it every time.
Like a xenomorph.
The third, I like to think, does a side eye at the crazy second surgeon and says, how about I just take out my eyeballs?
Both?
Yeah, and then reattach those tomorrow.
That's going to be hard to put back in.
Yeah.
You're going to do it backwards. It's going to be a whole thing.
I mean, they might be able to surgery each other as well. Because that would count, right?
Is that part of the game?
I would count it if they did surgeries to each other. As long as they do the surgery.
Yeah, you usually don't do self-surgery.
Do they, like, pick short straws to see who teams up with Heart Guy? Because that's going to break bad for everybody.
The host says, well, shit, if you can do that, then you've definitely learned everything there is to know about surgerying. So they're not even, like, this isn't even a bet for something.
What was the third one again?
Eyeballs.
Both.
Out and in?
Yeah.
It's just an extreme boast, really.
At least, like, switch them or something.
After the heart, the eyeballs do seem like a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I guess it is hard to do surgery if your eyes aren't in and you can't see.
Yeah.
Or like, if we want to stick on the animal theme, 2 snake eggs.
Sure.
You just got to acquire them first.
Just live, like, live, and they will hatch into live snakes.
Yeah. That'll be exciting.
And those will see for you.
That's the prestige.
You won't be able to see for the duration of the incubation period, but once those snakes hatch, 4 eyes.
Well, if you draw pupils on the eggs and then do magic, you'll see.
Okay. That makes sense.
It'll be fine.
This is our Halloween adjacent episode, so we can talk about snakes hatching out of people's eyes.
And magic.
And magic. Very spooky.
So these three people actually have this salve that they've been carrying around in a special bottle that they keep with themselves that allows them to just reattach things. So I think that's cheating.
They're very cheater surgeons.
That's
to be so proud of their craft.
Right. The story doesn't claim that it's cheating. It just says that they have this thing, but that's totally cheating.
Did they invent it or did they acquire it?
I think they acquired it.
If they invented it, it's not cheating because then they made it. It was hard to do.
They surgeried so hard that they made a serger potion.
But if one of them just fell in a pit one day and his leg fixed itself and they took the pit dirt, that's cheating. It's my official ruling.
So they cut off their hands, eyes, and heart and put them on a plate to give to the innkeeper, who entrusted it to the care of a servant for the night.
Pretty gross.
And the three of them...
Is this a spooky story because it's a biohazard?
Yeah.
That they're clearly not dealing with very well?
I mean, this is definitely body horror.
Well, I think a spooky thing is a heartless man is going to, like, spend the night there.
And move around and stuff?
Yeah, he's fine.
Do we need to check in with the spooktralizer a little bit?
Check the sphincter.
Did they know what hearts were? And did he just take out something else?
Maybe he has, like,
and
a
say,
little...
this is a heart. I am a surgeon.
Valentine heart.
This is a clump of red stuff. I assume it's the heart. No two humans are the same. We don't really know where the heart is. This is mine.
My heart looks like links of sausage.
The spooktralizer is signing to me that it's wary, but it's not. It is approaching human.
Mm.
I think we're past the cheap readouts.
Sure.
It's just man to machine connection.
It's really beautiful, honestly.
Or spooky, depending on how you feel about a machine uprising.
All right, so the servant he'd entrusted these vital organs to had a secret lover.
Who, what?
The servant. The innkeeper's like, thanks for your organs. You, servant girl, you're in charge of these for the night. I'm going to bed. But the servant had a secret lover.
Oh.
Is it a secret because nobody cares?
Yeah, basically.
Nobody asked, therefore secret.
He is a soldier who shows up for a bite to eat after everyone was asleep. This is why he's secret, because she's stealing food from the inn.
Mm.
Oh, I see what's going to happen. She's going to feed him the eyes and hands and heart, / just globules.
Because they didn't have, like, leftover donuts tonight.
They threw out all their Krispy Kremes a little too early.
Well, she opens up the cupboard to get him some food, but she doesn't remember to shut it again. So while she's flirting with him, the cat gets in and steals the surgeon's body bits.
All of them?
All of them.
Is the cat wearing a backpack?
Just grabs the whole plate.
It was a plate with these things on them?
Yeah.
It was just a dish?
Yeah.
Was it covered?
I don't think so.
This is a terrible establishment.
It gets a D on its health code. So the soldier finishes eating and the servant girl takes the things away and goes to shut the cupboard when she notices that all the people bits are missing. So she starts to panic and the soldier says, don't worry about it. I saw a man hanging at the gallows just outside. I'll chop his hand off. What hand was it? And she said it was the right hand. So he goes out and he comes back with a man's right hand and puts it on the plate. Then he catches the cat, takes its eyes out, puts those on the plate.
Where did the cat put its treasures?
Who is doing this?
The soldier, secret lover.
Because Because he did it?
Because the girlfriend lost the stuff and he's going to save the day.
Down her mouth?
It,
what?
She eat him?
No, the cat did.
No, she ate him.
She's the cat.
She's a cat.
I think she ate them and she blamed it on the cat.
Well, he takes the cat's eyes and he puts those on the plate.
Because it's spookier if she eats them and now she has a taste for human flesh.
Is he a dumb? Perchance.
A dumb?
Because I know what cat eyes look like. And they're very different from what my eyes look like.
Yeah.
They're all just like grapes with little dots on them. Right?
Just snake eggs.
You could just get grapes and a Sharpie and be done with it.
Of different kinds.
Just get grapes, a Sharpie, and do magic. It's fine.
He's definitely a dumb because the man at the gallows has all the bits that they
could have just done one and done. Shopping trip. Don't gotta go out more than once.
Yeah, why go to Ingles, Kroger, and Publix?
Unless he's from that car commercial where the guy got a really cool car, so he likes to drive back and forth to the store.
That's it. That's what it is.
His car is a sword, and he likes to cut up cats.
Oh, boy.
I don't think he cuts up the cat. I think the cat's
just,
still alive.
He just
alive.
Yanks the eyes out.
I think his car is a sword.
Ass hands.
I think it's just a plucking situation.
His car is a sword.
Yeah.
It's worth thinking about that for a second.
Sure.
Because you did invent a whole anime in that one sentence. You just kind of evoked a whole TV show. His car is a sword. I think that's all Japan needs.
Just
mail
that to Japan.
Like I imagine that is how, like, that is what it's like pitching an anime show. You just call them up and you're just like, hey, what if his car is a sword? And they're like, great.
He's in high school. His car is a sword.
Yeah, like, great, give us 26 episodes. You get a Bebop's run.
Throw a dart at a color wheel, that's the color of his hair. Let's go. All right.
Throw another dart, two-tone, who cares?
Any idea you can get greenlit.
All right, so now they're just missing a heart. And the soldier asks her if they've done any slaughtering recently, and she said, oh, yeah, we slaughtered a pig. And so they go and they find the pig's heart, and they slop that on the plate, put the plate in the cupboard. He leaves and she goes to bed.
I have an important question that I neglected to ask.
Okay.
The gallows man was dead for how long? How rotten is his hand?
How long do they keep him up there?
Is it a noticeable dead hand?
More noticeable than having cut off your hand and,
like,
let it sit in a cupboard?
Does it have skin or is it just bone?
I think it's got skin.
I wonder, have these surgeons ever done this before?
Yeah, they got that salve.
They do it all the time. It's a party trick.
Like, and they know what, like, a hand left out for one night looks like.
Presumably
that if they've done this before.
They're very good surgeons, they claim.
But
they've got very good salve.
Right. Like, I could do it too, if you give me the magic thing.
All right, so the next morning, the surgeons perform their little miracle trick.
Mm-hmm.
They're not good enough surgeons to recognize cat eye or pig heart.
Or dead hand.
Yeah, so they just, like, slap those on. They receive praise from the innkeeper and nothing else, because, again, this was not for anything.
There's just nothing to gain.
Yeah, they were just doing it.
Only to lose.
I do like the image of, like, they do all this, and then everybody's just like, all right, thanks, I guess. See ya. Like, get out of here.
Here's your tab.
Basically, because they do pay their tab and then leave. So it wasn't even for, like, a free night at the inn.
Sign the guest book if you so choose.
So as they traveled after leaving the inn, the pig's heart surgeon kept wandering off from the group to go rooting around in the dirt.
Like a pig.
And the other two would grab him by his coattails and try and drag him back to the pass. But whatever they did, they couldn't stop him from going to the dirtiest corners and just snuffling about in there. The cat's eye surgeon kept asking what was wrong with his vision because he can't see at all.
All I see is mice.
He can see nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
Why?
And he didn't...
Because they don't understand cats. Because cats are asleep at that time of day, I guess.
So his eyes are asleep.
That's my best guess.
So his eyes have other priorities, and it's always to be asleep.
I mean, our resident intern is asleep right now.
I mean, I have experienced this where, like, I have plans, but my eyes are just like, no.
We're changing
No,
those.
It's time to close.
He didn't think to bring this up until they were deep into their travel.
They're at least moderately into their travel.
Like, did he want to save face in front of the barkeep?
Well, maybe the cat's eyes were awake for part of it, and then they went to sleep. He's like, what the fuck? I can't see.
This is troubling.
He's got, like, 4 hours a day of wakefulness.
And he used them all at once. It's a rookie mistake.
So they travel with some difficulty, with a thief hand surgeon having to guide cat's eye surgeon and corral pig's heart surgeon for the whole journey. And then they reach their next inn. And once they're in there, there's a rich man in the corner just counting his money, like you do in an inn in the bar. And the thief's hand surgeon kept, like, wandering over there, and then when the man's eyes were elsewhere, grabbed a whole bunch of money with the hand. So his comrades saw what happened, and they're like, dude, that's stealing.
You're a stealer.
That's a crimes you can't. And he said, I know.
It's a crimes you can't.
There's never been a surgery stealer before. It's unprecedented.
But my hand twitches, and it forces me to snatch things whether I want them to or not. So they go to bed.
Okay.
I don't know that they return the money at all.
Uh-huh.
They're just like, all right, let's knock out for the night.
These are troubling things we've learned about ourselves today. Anyway.
I mean, that's the spookiest kind of story, isn't
40
it?
40 winks.
You learn something about yourself you don't like.
And then you choose to face it another day.
Yeah. Whole story holds that mirror up to humanity.
And humanity turns over and goes back to sleep.
And humanity uses its cat eyes.
That seems correct. Casts its cat eyes spell to go to sleep.
So it's so dark in their room that they can't even see their hands or a thief's hand in front of their own faces. But in the middle of the night, cat's eye surgeon wakes up because I guess the cat's eyes are awake now.
It's time to be a cat.
And he sees mice running around the rafters, and he wakes up his fellow surgeons to ask if they can see them too, but they can't see a damn thing in front of them. So cat's eye surgeon says, look, guys, obviously something went terribly wrong.
We've
gotten the wrong bits back. We need to go back to that innkeeper who deceived us and get our rightful stuff.
We need our rightful bits. The once and future bits.
Is it worth bringing up the bits men again?
I mean, this seems like the prime scenario for the bits men.
But who are they in this scenario? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Is the cat an agent of the bits men?
We should explain that the bits men are very minor characters in a previous story that were tasked with, like, cutting bits off of a princess or something. That sounds right.
So they go back to the inn and they confront the innkeeper, and he says, oh shit, it must have been that servant girl that I entrusted all of your bits to. And he goes to get her in trouble, but she's already run off having seen the three of them coming.
Good call.
Mm.
Leave your life behind. It's time to start anew.
Just burn it all down.
Just hop into the passenger seat of the sword vehicle.
You saw old cat eyes and dead hand coming. Better move to the next town over.
Sword like surf your way over.
Like a phoenix from the ashes.
So the sergeants say, you're going to have to give us a lot of money or we're going to burn your inn down.
Has nobody noticed that the cat is blind?
They care about the cat even less than the secret lover servant girl. They're like, was that cat always like that? I don't know, probably. So you're going to have to give us a lot of money or we're going to burn your inn down. So,
with what? With what?
Fire.
Where are they going to get it?
The fire?
Yeah.
Make it?
The pig doesn't know how.
Doesn't know how to make fire?
Mm-mm.
The thief probably does.
Not in its heart of hearts. It only knows about mushrooms.
Truffles and slop.
That's a good trade.
And like, spider webs.
A cat would fall asleep halfway through making a fire.
The pig guy might have a good career ahead of him, though.
I mean, of the three, he's got it the least bad. Cause
a career?
Yeah, truffle hunting.
All that's happened to him is that he has established a new interest.
I mean, you're
not... Oh, no.
You're not going to pay a person to do it over a pig that does it for free.
It might make it hard for him to find a significant other.
If he has... Is it pig heart?
Well, if he's constantly snuffling around in the dirt, I imagine that doesn't go over well on dating sites.
Yeah, but if he does, that's the right person.
That's true.
Like, you, if that's all you got on your profile, like, love snuffling in the dirt, and you get a hit, that's probably meant to be.
If his meet cute is a truffle snuffle. You hold on to that person.
That's
it. He proposes with a truffle.
Coming 2019. The romantic comedy everybody said they didn't want. The Truffle Snuffle, starring that kid from The Goonies. But he's an adult now, and it's not Sean Astin.
Similar.
Like, no, not Sean Astin. Not Short Round either. Not the Coreys. The other one. Is it two Coreys in The Goonies?
Are they both?
Corey Feldman and or, Corey Other?
Or they, or I don't know any of the Goonies, I'll be honest.
It's at least one Corey, Sean Astin, Short Round from Temple of Doom.
Mm-hmm. And the cast of Stand By Me.
Truffle Shuffle. And others.
It's at all.
Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, the other one that's in that movie. Who's the other wet bandit?
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern. I'm glad I didn't say... Boy, I can't remember any names. The one in Dumb and Dumber that's not Jim Carrey. Jeff...
Just call Daniels. Him not Jim.
Jeff Daniels?
That's a, maybe.
That's a good name for any celebrity is not Jim.
Not Jim?
Yeah. Not Jim. Well, not if you're Jim Carrey.
Then you call him Am Jim.
Not Jim and Am Jim.
Top billing. All right, so the innkeeper scraped together as much money as he could and gave it to the surgeons, who now had enough to live on for the rest of their lives, although they would have preferred their original bits.
That's a lot of money for, like, quick session of scrounging.
Apparently it's a very successful inn.
Just like, hey, root around in the bushes a little bit, see what you come up with.
We're going to burn down your establishment. Oh, geez. Oh, willikers. I better look around for some extra cash. Here's $20 million.
Here's a retirement fund for three. Turns out that thief was working for the inn the whole time.
Twist.
Seems good. I wish I could do that.
What, thieve for an inn?
Not thieve, like...
Scrounge.
Look in the bushes and there's $20 million.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that'd be great. I got a Mega Millions ticket. That's not going to do anything.
That's basically scrounging for millions of dollars.
I guess I should get, like... I don't know.
You better get it fast because the drawing's tonight. There's no...
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, there's way that no one's going to win.
Hop on down to the QT.
That's fine.
Buy out all their tickets.
It's all right. I'll be fine. With that one.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I'm increasing your odds of winning by saying...
by abstaining.
By saying, like, no, none of us are going to win anyway.
I think the odds are the same, because it's not like they pick one of the existing numbers. They just pick a number.
I mean, just like the force of the universe.
Oh, okay.
It's like stacking up.
Equilibrium.
It's a pretty good movie.
About money.
With Christian Bale? Oh. Mm-hmm. Is it about money?
Mm-mm.
It's about gun stunts.
Yeah.
Like The Matrix.
So.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's
the end. Oh, it ended.
Yeah, they get retirement.
They don't get they don't get better bits?
No, they're stuck with their current bits.
But they get some money at the end?
Yeah, they get like enough to live on. Plus Papa Truffle's mushroom farm.
Can I turn this
cool romance later.
Can I turn this into an allegory for socialized medicine?
Sure.
Or protection for pre-existing conditions.
Man, I would love if you did.
Do whatever, man.
It's pretty weak. It's pretty weak.
We've made weaker connections on this podcast, I promise.
I would say all three of these things count as a pre-existing condition. This is nothing for anybody who doesn't live in the U.S. all you international people, sorry.
Unless you have just been watching the dumpster fire with interest.
Unless you're tuned into our healthcare system. All these people have pre-existing conditions, and they get the payout from the insurance, which is in the bush that they found it in, because they're covered.
By a bush.
I think
and it comes from one source, so it's single payer. Therefore, we should have single-payer health insurance.
I may be wrong about us making weaker connections on this podcast, but I'm with you.
I said it's a leap. It symbolizes single-payer.
Proof. My big question is, what is heart surgeon?
He's a lich.
Apparently.
He's an undead.
So I'd like to posit that the salve is somehow related to the waters of life and death. Like, someone figure out how to bottle that up into one cool, like, moisturizer.
Somebody figure out how to make it gooier.
Yeah. They just, like, dumped it into an aloe concoction as a binder. So it does both at once.
I don't believe that heart surgeon's heart was his heart.
What?
He's goofed before.
You mean the heart he took out?
Yeah. It wasn't his OG heart.
So you're saying like a Captain Ginyu situation.
Sure.
The heart we see in the beginning is not his original heart. Correct. Swapped it with some other shit.
Well, the fact that he can take it out and move it around tells me that something bananas has happened to him already.
Like, his internal systems are kind of whack to begin with. So is he impaired other than just wanting to kind of root in the dirt?
No, like, he's just got pig hobbies.
So he has pig hobbies. He could take that heart out and get another one.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could all fix this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a nothing story.
But now they can fix it and they have retirement funds.
I don't know what moral this is getting at, but it seems bad.
I don't know that there is a moral. I do think that Heart Surgeon is the leader of this band and the one who gathered that potion. Because I don't think he's human.
No.
The other two, like, get rid of articles that are... You can survive without them.
Yeah.
Eyes and hand.
Yeah.
You get rid of your scratchy hand. You
just put a wrap
there. I don't know.
You just attach one of those, like, back scratcher things to the arm with a rubber band. That
sweet nose picker.
Again, the back scratcher tool, rubber band, you're good.
I wouldn't put that up your nose.
Just attach a whole crossbow to it.
To your arm?
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Like, be ye olde Mega Man.
Like Van Helsing. Is Van Helsing like ye olde vampire Mega Man?
But I think that would also explain why there's not that escalation thing that you usually get in stories where it's like, I'll do this crazier thing, and I'll do this absolutely bug nuts bananas thing. They toss the bananas thing into the middle like it ain't no thing.
Right.
Because it ain't.
And the other guy can't top it because he's not a weird undead person who has somehow, like, swindled or borrowed or been bestowed Baba Yaga's magic life and death waters.
Are we sure that he is a human man?
The pig surgeon?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying he isn't.
Well, I mean, like, not something wearing a human skin.
I would make no claims that he is.
Some kind of elder fae?
It's just something in his automaton body.
Okay.
Like a gnome or something.
Just being piloted by...
Okay, so the body is an automaton being controlled or piloted.
Yes.
And so you take the heart out, it doesn't really matter. You still got, like, the gnome in the cockpit or fairy or whatever.
If that's the case, then being a pig hobbyist is an act. But if he's just one of those beings who can part from their heart that we've seen in the past before, I'd say, like, he has actually gotten a replacement heart of a pig. And so he can still part with it, but now he's got pig hobbies.
He's got
and
pig
that's just
urges.
part of who he is.
Pig urges is correct. I would say that's an urge, which is a spooky word.
Urge?
Isn't it?
What about incentive?
As a spooky word?
No, as a less spooky word.
I mean, we're looking for spooky. We're trying to spook the pants off people with these pig hobbies.
Pig urges.
Isn't that Michael Myers' catchphrase in the Halloween movies? Isn't that his famous line when he tries to stab Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah.
And he's like, pig urges. And she hits him with the thing. He goes out the window, maybe.
It's what plays in the background every time Jason climbs out of his fucking lake. It just goes, pig, 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 urge, urge, urge.
All right, you two ready for the next one? Or do you have anything else to add to this one? Who are we casting as Pig urges for the romantic comedy where he meets his truffle-loving soulmate.
Vince Vaughn.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Are we? Are we married to Vince Vaughn? Now that I'm thinking about it, though, he's kind of a creepy dude. Right?
Of the folks I know in Hollywood, I would attribute Pig urges to Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why I questioned that at first. I mean, I think it was just Vince Vaughn and romantic comedy didn't, like...
I mean, Pig urges and romantic comedy don't go together.
He's taken a couple of runs at that genre. I think he could give it another go.
Has he? Like, what? Wedding Crashers, isn't it?
No.
Is it? It's just a comedy, right? Is it a romantic comedy?
It's got Rom in it.
It's got what?
Rom.
Rom.
It's got Rom mixed in with the com.
I guess so.
It's not good, Rom.
Sprinkling of Rom.
I guess
so. Yeah, I would call it a sprinkling of Rom.
Yeah, sort of a Rom backdrop against a... Well, I think what is not terribly well-aged com, maybe.
And then love interest is just... Whoever the hell shows up for the audition and has the most chemistry with Vince Vaughn acting as a pig, gender, whatever, doesn't matter. It's just whoever can, like...
Yeah, it's an open call.
Can keep a straight face.
It might be another pig. We did not rule that out.
Miss Piggy from the Muppet shows up.
Like, I mean, I think the casting call reads, like, you need to let Vince Vaughn snuffle on and around your face for, like, 6 weeks while we film. Whoever wants to do that, the job is yours.
You must appear to enjoy it.
Yeah, like, if you can appear interested and excited by a constantly snuffling Vince Vaughn, the job is yours. Whichever human is capable of making your face do that, need you.
Open call to the world.
Is it Amy Adams again?
Didn't he do Couples Retreat? That's a rom-com.
I don't know that movie.
That's a bizarre movie because I went to see it with an ex at the time. I think I was in high school when it came out.
Yeah.
And he... His profession in the film is Guitar Hero salesman.
Like selling the video game?
Yes. To who? I don't know. How? I don't know.
They're just but putting...
He specialized in selling Guitar Hero to someone.
When they wrote that movie...
Was written by someone who has heard of video games as a concept, but
don't
has
think so.
Mostly heard of salespeople?
They really just, like, lasered the date into that one.
They sure did.
Just like, this is a product of the, what, early 2000s? Mid 2000s? None of that timeless Kubrick feel on that one.
Mm-mm.
No Blue Danube in that movie.
I would say that every frame was a painting, though.
Who you got in there, Roger Deakins?
Now are you two ready for the next one?
Yeah, read a spooky story.
Alright, yeah, so cool. This is How Some Children Played at Slaughtering.
That's the full title?
Yes, it's got two versions, both extremely short. So one day, some young boys and girls around the ages of 5 and 6 were playing with each other. They chose one boy to play a butcher, and another to play a cook, and a third was to be a pig. It's a very pig-themed spooky episode.
The spookiest animal. They got those urges, after all.
Then they assigned one girl to be, I guess, another cook, and another to be her assistant, and the assistant's job was to catch the blood of the pig in a little bowl so they could make sausages later.
What is the cook's job?
Cook the sausages? I don't know. They're kids. They haven't thought this one through. They did, however, acquire a knife.
They just know that every cook needs an assistant.
Right, and every assistant needs to get sausage blood. It's the primary role of a chef's assistant.
Mm. Ringing sausages.
Yeah.
Not a sous chef, a chef's assistant.
So the butcher fell upon the little boy playing the pig, threw him to the ground, and slit his throat open with a real people knife.
Pretty good game.
The assistant cook.
That's a new high score.
Very calmly. Caught the blood in a bowl, as she was instructed.
Mm-hmm. And the blood belonging to...
A small child who had been, like, wandering around on his hands and knees, squealing like a pig.
Like, the now late small child.
He died doing what he loved, though.
Waste not, want not.
Which was truffle snuffling, whatever we said.
Truffle.
He was following his pig to the end. So a councilman was walking nearby and saw this horrific scene happen before him, which I'm sure haunts his nightmares
so
for the rest
went
of his life.
To the town hall and he blamed video games.
He got a congressional inquiry.
They're making our children violent.
And why all the music has the bad lyrics now.
Why is Pac-Man rapping?
Why is Pac-Man rapping? That's worth an inquiry.
I don't think Pac-Man's rapping.
If he starts, I think Congress should investigate.
Should look
why.
Into it.
Yeah. That seems like a better use of their time.
Well, he doesn't have knees to be weak in the first place.
Sure,
or
yeah.
Or arms that are heavy.
I think he could probably... He eats spaghetti, though.
He eats strawberries.
He could vomit up.
He eats, like, cherries and ghosts.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty good basis.
Somebody write Lose Yourself as told by Pac-Man.
Mom's ghosts are on my sweater already.
All right, so the councilman grabs the butcher boy and leads him to the house of the mayor, who instantly summons the council because holy fuck. And they're not sure what to do because they're pretty sure this was like an innocent kid's game gone horribly wrong because someone thought knives are a cool birthday gift for a 6-year-old.
Agreed.
So one councilman, a wise old man, gave the advice that the chief judge take a beautiful red apple in one hand and a gold coin in another. And if the boy chose the red apple, he'd be set free. And if he chose the gold coin, they'd kill him. And that's justice.
Because he had crime in his heart.
Yeah. I guess so.
That would be that's evidence of future crimes.
That's your crime barometer.
If his senses were overwhelmed by the possibility of gold coin.
Mm-hmm. Do you choose a healthy lifestyle or do you choose vice?
The life of crime.
So the judge takes the advice, and they hold the two things out. The boy grabs the apple with a laugh and is set free without any punishment. The end.
He took it because then he didn't have to bring one for teacher on his own.
Yeah. Also, he was maybe still in the room during this discussion.
That's bad adulting.
He takes it with a laugh. So he doesn't have...
fucking idiots. I'm going to do more crime.
He doesn't have any apparent understanding or remorse for having slaughtered his playmate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More kids will fall to this child.
More pigs.
It does seem like maybe that didn't fit the crime very well.
The apple versus coin?
The test and punishment.
You
such
need
as
to understand, karma. That it's easier for him to do if he sees them all as pigs. They're not little kids to him.
He just plays out Lord of the Flies in his head all the time.
That was a short little chaser of a story.
Well, there's version 2.
Oh.
In version 2, there
this
was
is like
a,
an alternate ending.
It's like an alternate version.
So there's a double version of a double story.
Yes, this is double slaughter weeble wobble
weeble wobble
double
weeble
slaughter.
Double slaughter weeble wobble.
Weeble oh, wobble. I hate it. I've started doing it in my head now, so whoa, you're whoa, terrible.
Whoa. Every time I say it, I think about like a big shitty dubstep bass drop that happens right afterwards. So if anybody knows how to make dubstep. We did get a version
a good one.
Discord that I should tweet out.
All right, so in version 2, there once was a father who slaughtered a pig, and the children watched this happen and decided that they're going to play that game.
I learned it from watching you.
So the mother is upstairs bathing another kid, and she runs downstairs when she hears the cries of her son, because they played the game the same way the other kids did, with a real people knife.
Except this kid cried.
He cried out, because...
And the other one...
Murder.
Winked.
No, the one who is
just very
knifed cries out in pain because knife.
Right, but the other story.
Yeah, that guy was fine.
Yeah, he just oinked because he was very invested in his role as pig.
Right, he followed his pig urges straight to the end. So she hears the scream and she runs down and is horrified, grabs the knife out of the throat of one son and just in a blind rage.
Don't remove it.
Stabs the heart of her other son.
well, now you have no sons, except for the naked one upstairs.
So she goes back up to tend to bathtub kid, but in her absence, he's drowned in the bathtub.
He was trying to. That can't be that fast. Is he an infant?
Probably.
Well, she's just real bad at this job.
Yeah. She is distraught, panics, won't let the neighbors comfort her, so I guess neighbors showed up? I don't know.
Well, there's two dead kids in the front yard.
Yeah.
Someone would show up.
Well, I don't know how much...
Eventually, yes.
I don't know if this is like folklore suburbia or if there's a lot of land space around them.
Regardless, folklore somebody will pass by at some point and they will come up to see what's going on.
Well, or they'll call somebody.
She hangs herself.
While they're there?
I don't know. She can't handle it.
This is pretty grim dark.
Yeah. This is a very grim, grim tale. Then Dad comes home, sees the whole scene, and is so despondent that he also just kind of dies soon after that. The end.
Oh, cool.
The end of that tale.
Pretty good for everyone, then.
So a good spooky ending, because you know that farm is ghosts now.
Oh yeah, they're all ghosts at the same time.
They just
continue their lives, but as ghosts.
That is a haunted ass farm full of child pig squeals.
I like when we get a story where the moral is just, there's one less family in the world now.
We just took care of this one. They're gone.
The point of this story is, there's less people than there were when we started.
Yeah, you gotta wonder, like, why this is a tale to put down in your collection of things about a bird and a mouse and a sausage, which was the one immediately following this in the book that I pulled it from.
Who would tell it?
I don't know.
Who would know it? The neighbors, I guess?
Is this what you tell your kids so they don't play with knives? But, like, the first boy, he gets off scot-free.
If you touch a knife, you'll either get an apple or your whole family will be dead. Do you want to take that chance?
I would not trust a small child.
Grow up and become
just in general? not with a knife or anything, just like in general?
I mean, be a little wary of them, because who knows what they're up to, but they're wily. Not in this circumstance.
Given the options tonight, I think a child should aspire to be an immortal surgeon over a dead pig.
Given those options, yes. Be some kind of weird...
Be a pig surgeon.
Heartless thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just dead thing that roams the countryside and tricks people.
Be a lich with pig urges. Don't be a butcher.
There you go. A lich with pig urges.
So, thank you, Lucy, for these spooktacular tales.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Em, for being our executive producer.
Thank you, Em.
Thank you, Em.
Thank you to all of our patrons for keeping the show running.
Thank you to all of our patrons.
Thanks, patrons.
Thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Liz, Grace, MC Atnip, Jeremiah, Roast Rabbit, Haley, Tim, Dom, Justin, Lily, Jen, Jenna, and Heather? Some names changed. Did I say Robert already?
Why don't you say the names they want you to say?
Because I... No.
Give them that power.
Okay.
Give them that gift for Halloween.
This week, Heather is a shitty witch. And Tim is fastest drink slinger in the West. And Jeremiah is Jeremiah, but scary.
Thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Pig Urges.
Thank you, Pig Urges.
Pig Urges.
Thank you, Vince Vaughn.
Thank you, Vince Vaughn, I guess.
Thank you, Guitar Hero.
Thanks, Guitar Hero. It was a pretty good freshman year of college, I guess.
Thank you, Cat Eyes.
Thanks, Cat Eyes.
That's probably all I got.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after.
Tra-la-di-di-ha-di-ho, da-ha-di-di-ha-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-ha-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.